Om Shanti, everyone. We have the pleasure of Jentiben here this evening to revise the Murali with us. Some of you, most of you, know Jentiben, but I'm going to share a few things about her. Obviously, you know the fact that she's the European and Middle East Regions Director for this university. She's based in London. She's also the NGO representative for United Nations. I don't know about you, but I see Jentiben as a flying angel. And I mean that from a spiritual perspective, but also from a physical perspective, and I mean that literally. And what I mean by that, she's on a plane, she's off a plane, she's going from one continent to another, one country to another, one city to another. And then she told us this morning at the regional meeting that she's flying off to Morocco tomorrow at a women's conference. So she's tirelessly serving, flying from one end to another, from one region to another. And she's been invited to conferences, different conferences and seminars and lectures on topics such as women's needs, racial harmony, peace, spirituality, and climate change. And I'm sure some of you may know that she was at Davos and she conducted meditation for those delegates who were there, who experienced wonderful meditation from her commentaries. So I'm sure that Jentiben, who's traveling from A to B, she must have accumulated a lot of air miles, right? But on a serious note, she's been gifted with lots of different things. But I think one special gift that she has is her voice. And this voice, which is very gentle, very calm, very serene, actually touches people's hearts and minds and lots of different subjects. And she also, through her meditation commentaries, where she tells us and around the world to people about love, harmony, bliss, peace, it touches souls' hearts. And I think that's one of the special gifts that Baba has given her. And I know there are many, many more. On the last note, I had an opportunity to travel with Jentiben a while ago. And it was a very easy trip, because that was my first time I traveled with her. And the qualities that I saw in her at that time, and even to date, are things like openness, understanding, very down to earth, approachable, listening, I mean actively listening, and above all, authentically caring. So I'd like to say thank you, Jentiben, and I'm going to pass over to Jentiben to share and revise the Murali with us. Om Shanti.
Thank you, Mama. I do believe that all that I've been blessed with is a gift from Baba. Daddy Janki used to tell me, "I don't see you working so hard on the in level. I see you riding on the crest of Baba's gifts." And I think that's true. And of course, then there comes a time when you do have to do your inner work. Yesterday's Murali doesn't seem as if it was spoken some years ago, but the beauty of the Avyakt Muralis is that they speak to us at the moment now. Baba's telling us now what it is we have to do. And I'm thinking that at the time when I first heard these Muralis, how much did I understand of them and how much did I apply them. So I'm very grateful that we've had this time of revising the Avyakt Muralis, not just the ones that we read, but also the ones that we see in Madhuban when we're here. It's a royalty, purity, personality. These were the key words that came in again and again. And Baba followed a very traditional pattern. First, Baba praises us and lifts us up. It's something that Baba does every time. And so Baba talked about the beauty of the souls who were with him at that time, seeing their light of purity, their crown of purity, the purity shining in the forehead, the crown of light on their heads. And so as Baba speaks, I think you all feel how Baba's really lifting you and making you not just a few inches tall, but like the song goes, makes you stand on the mountain. And so that's Baba's very beautiful method. And then I'd forgotten that Baba had conducted drills so often. And of course when Baba started with this, then I remembered that many times Baba would take us through the cycle or through the three worlds. Baba would conduct drill. So the spiritual drill, emerge the qualities of the very special sparkle that you have when you're in Paramdham. All the souls are shining, but you children have a light which is different. And so an extra sparkle, an extra shine. And then the golden age and the beauty of that purity of that era. And then worship worthy. And it's interesting that although in the Copper Age we start worshipping, Baba isn't talking to us on the level of the worshipper. Baba's talking to us on the level of being worthy of worship and being those images that are worshipped. And so again, very, very high stage of self-esteem and awareness of the special qualities of the soul. And then the Brahman stage, Sangam Yug, the end of the cycle, and the speciality of purity that we are blessed with by God. The mirror. Baba asked us if we had a mirror in which to see our own percentage of purity. And I don't know how many were able to have a quick look and see themselves immediately at that time, or whether as you reflect on the Murali, and maybe at Amrit Vela, maybe later on through the day, you were able to check yourself and see, well, Baba's seeing me here, but where am I really? Have I moved in that direction and am I very close touching it, or am I still a bit distant from it? And even if today I'm a bit distant, it's okay. With Baba's love and power, Baba can lift me to that original stage. I deeply believe that if I have the fortune of hearing this Murali in Madhuban, where Baba's presence is so strongly felt, and I think we all felt Baba's presence. I don't think we had the thought that Baba's not present with us, so whether Baba was lifting us or the magic that he did, but certainly everybody's attention was totally focused and we were there in front of Baba. And so to be able to stay, to see my own stage of purity, but to know that Baba's talking to me and Baba's reminding me of that original, very, very high stage of purity. And I loved it when Baba used the word, not just brahmachari, not just celibate, but Brahma Acharya, following in the footsteps of the teacher Brahma. The incorporeal, yes, we are all aware that God is the supreme, the ocean of purity, the one who purifies everyone else, so of course God is the highest on high. But Brahma Baba, thoughts, words, actions, relationships, connections, all the stories you've heard about Brahma Baba. And as Baba's speaking, you don't have time to reflect so much because Baba's on to the next thing, the next thing, the next thing. How many different points did Baba make in one murli? But when you reflect on the murli afterwards, then you begin to remember all the different stories that you've heard about Brahma Baba and the way Baba walked and talked and moved and the presence that you still feel in Pandit Bhavan and all the different things that emerge in your mind as that image of Baba's eyes and lips and forehead and words, all of that emerges in front of you. Who has the feeling that Baba becomes very real for them when they think of Baba, Brahma Baba? That's what I would have expected. The majority. And then some are too shy to raise their hands. That's also fine. That's okay. But it's very beautiful to know that because Baba's in the angelic form and hasn't taken another birth, and Daddy was talking about it the other night, that it's interesting that out of all the souls in the world cycle, there's one soul who's so close to God, almost equal to God, that he also hasn't taken rebirth for now 49 years. That's a long, long, long time to be waiting. And he's been waiting there all this time for us. And so because Baba's in the subtle region still, not somewhere else in another form doing other things, when we think of Baba with love, Baba becomes present. I think that's the reason why it's working like that. The angelic form of Baba is present, but even almost the physical sense of Baba being here with us. And then of course when Baba went on to describe the detail of the drishti, the vritti, the drishti, the kriti, so what's in our awareness when we see other people? I think it's very easy to think of other people as souls and to have a feeling that, well, let me send them good wishes, good thoughts, so that they can come closer to God. And then the challenge comes with the family with whom I've had engagement and karma for 63 births, not 84 births. The golden and silver age, it was just pure love and joy being exchanged. So no karmic accounts at that time. Just each one's good fortune, and we bring that good fortune with ourselves. Whatever effort now and a thousandfold return fortune later. But from the Copper Age onwards, there's been a lot of exchange with these souls. And not just the ones sitting here, but the ones with whom I have karma with on a daily basis. And then Baba says, at the end of the cycle, it's time to clear all karma, time to clear all accounts. I see the reality of that. And so now, at this moment, whoever it is I'm in contact with, can I very genuinely clean my heart, my feelings, and have nothing, nothing, nothing but good wishes for them. And then, yes, I'll be following in the footsteps of Brahma Baba. There's one particular term that Baba uses in the Sakar Muralis, and it makes me aware that Brahma Baba was very human. And I don't mean that in a gross sense, but very human qualities. In the sense that he's a person who surrendered everything to God, but also took on the responsibility of 300 people and made them feel that they belonged to him, and he made himself available and belonged to them. And he sustained these souls just tirelessly, just continually, and not just in the early days in Karachi, but we heard the murali yesterday in which Baba was saying that Baba's concerned not only with a message for the whole world, but also Baba's concerned about his children and how to inspire them and support them to move forward and progress further. And so day turns into night, night turns into day, and Baba's still concerned. So the old night has gone past, and it's morning already, and the night has been spent just in reflecting and thinking about how to serve souls, not just out there, but also here. So just imagine how much Baba invested in everyone. And then some souls decided in the days of Karachi that they wanted to leave, and they just ran away. And if anybody would talk to them about those souls, Baba would say Baba loves them, and if they come back, Baba's door is open, Baba's heart is open. But can you imagine a father having sustained with such love, and then children go away and say, no, we don't want to know you, we don't want to stay connected with you? An interesting thing that I've heard from Daddy is that when people left, then they didn't have complaints about Baba. There was one soul who did, but that was the trans messenger soul in whom Baba would come and be you. That part lasted for about a year or so, I reckon. But that role was very significant in that it was through that trance role that Brahma Baba was given the name Baba. Prior to that, they didn't actually understand exactly. He was called Om Baba at one point. But who is Brahma Baba? That name was given at a very specific moment. And it was through that period of that trans messenger. And then her angst was that she felt she was equal to Mama and Baba. And so Baba comes in her, so why isn't Baba consulting her? Okay, so first I could see the Polish translation going. And now, can someone help with the translation? Bapu? Someone called Bapu here who can? It's okay. Okay now? So there was a big Maya ego issue, and that soul left, and nobody ever had contact with her after that. So she took a few souls with her. But afterwards, those who left, and it wasn't many who left in the days of Karachi, it was just that group of five who left. But in the days of Mount Abu, some left because they couldn't take the cold, they got sick. Some left because the poverty was such that there was no nourishment. All sorts of things were going on. But many, many left, and the tree was really shaken, and only the strong ones stayed. And Baba would remember them, and Baba would send out love to those souls. And those were the ones who would say, it was my anger, it was my desire for money, it was different things that happened, I couldn't get on with others around me, my sanskars. So they would always remember Mama, and Baba would love. And so Rama Baba, a human being, not yet an angel, the memorial was there in the subtle region. And I'm comparing that in a sense of, if I've given something, and I don't mean anything physical, if I've given of myself to somebody, and then they don't just turn around and insult me, but they actually cut off completely and don't want to see me again. Now, what sort of feeling would I have? Would I be able to have nothing but good wishes for them? Would I be able to have that pure love for them? And so you can see that when Baba's giving us the example of Brahma Baba, what was Baba's consciousness? What was Baba's attitude? What was Baba's drishti? And when they did come back, they started to come back in that period of the 60s when things were established and centers were going and had become strong. And so some came back to meet Baba. Many others have come later after that. But Baba would receive them and welcome them with such love that they forgot what they had done. And I've seen Daddy do that. One day somebody was on the phone to her, and he would come to the center sometime, but not as a regular student. And then one day his wife was at the center from morning through till the afternoon, and so he telephoned, and it was in the little sitting room, which is not such a big room, in Tennyson Road, and where I was sitting, and Nadi was just there, and I could hear somebody shouting at the end of the line. I couldn't hear what they were saying, but I could hear the tone of anger. And Daddy's going like this, and he can't see her, of course, but she's saying, yes, yes, I understand, yes, yes, we'll sort it out, yes, yes, I'll understand. And after this tirade, she put the phone down, and what had happened was that it was a small family, this is 74, so a very tiny little family, and so a few souls were there, and questions had started, and it was chit-chat going on, and the wife didn't want to leave. So Daddy doesn't know that there's somebody getting more and more angry at home. So then when the phone call finishes, then she says to the person, better you go home now, that was your husband. And so the person understood and quietly left. Next day was Sunday, and Daddy specially called her and said, take this bhog for this person. And I was very surprised, but afterwards Daddy said, I can forget what he said, that's okay, but I want him to forget what he said and what he did, so that then the door remains open for him to come. Because if he's remembering what he said, it'll be very difficult for him to come back. But I want to remove it from his awareness too. Can you imagine? And literally, she didn't take it in a personal way, in a negative way, at all. No way. And then the following week, he did come. And he was a bit embarrassed. But she just met him so normally, so lovingly, that he again started coming more often. So I've seen it happen, and not just one daddy, but all the daddies and the situations they've had to face in the early days. So sometimes I think, well, you know, if somebody says something to me, it's really nothing compared to what Baba had to go through, compared to what the daddies had to go through. It really isn't a big deal at all. And so, following in the footsteps of Baba, seeing the practical example of the daddies in front of us, and no problem, let me be able to move forward and do the same. But it means, is it that I have to have a thick skin and ignore what's going on? Thick skins can be two-sided. If I develop a thick skin, then I'm going to become insensitive, and that's not so useful. It means I'm not able to pick up the signals that another person is giving me, and I'm not going to be able to respond appropriately. So I mustn't develop a thick skin. So what do I do? What I can do is protect myself with the aura of light, God's light protecting me. And especially when I know that I'm going to be in a difficult conversation, to prepare the self beforehand, because you know who you have karma with, right? Mostly you know. You know who has a challenging personality that seems to come up every time you're with them. They rub you up, you rub them up, and so sparks fly. So the preparation. Neither do I want to give sorrow, nor do I want to take sorrow. And so to have the aura of God's light protecting me, so that then what they say, I'm able to allow it to reach me through the filter of God's light. And it's a very effective way to deal with situations and people. And then of course there are sometimes situations which are not expected. It comes suddenly. But in those situations, again, just to go back inside, very deep inside, so that the things stay out here and don't touch you inside. And another preparation which Baba often talks about, being up there and seeing what's going on down here as a detached observer. Not just being in the scene and stepping away from it, that observer is an important stage, but more and more, let my home really feel like my home, as if I truly belong there. And from there, to see what's going on. And I see that as times go on, and it was very interesting that right to the end, Baba mentioned the whole thing about nature, matter. And I don't know what sort of disaster had happened in India or the world at the time that Baba has spoken this, but I know that every time there was a natural disaster, Baba would make some comment about it in those days. And so from Baba's comment that you're seeing how nature suddenly erupts and the elements create chaos, maybe it's this body and these elements. I don't know when these elements are going to create chaos, And so have I practiced that stage of detachment? Have I practiced living in my home, not just being comfortable in my home here, but living in my home and really making it more and more my home by being there? This morning in the regional meeting, somebody asked about Baba saying that both gates, the key to both gates, are in Baba's hands, and both gates will open at the same time. And the fact that, yes, the eight souls will go quickly home and come down quickly. So yes, Mukti, Jivan Mukti, both opening together. But what I didn't say at the time, and it's an important point that comes up here, the eight have spent time in the home while they're still here doing the work that they're doing here. And so they're not waiting to go home. They've been experimenting with making their home and being there. And so then they touch the home and they very quickly come down again. They don't need to spend a long time up there. But number wise, for all of us, this practice is available to be more and more in my home and to come down, yes, as is the need, but very much in the awareness of being able to see what's going on in the big picture. And so often, even in lokic situations, if you look at things from a very narrow perspective, it's so difficult. And you widen your horizon and you see things in a bigger picture, things seem more understandable and therefore more manageable. But especially for Brahmins, to really experiment and be in the home and see things down here, it's such a big difference in perspective. And you're not thick-skinned then, but you don't take personally things that are going on here. You know that it's part of Kali Yuga, you know that crazy things are going to happen, you know that Brahmins are dealing with the last and most powerful outbursts of Maya, you know that this is the end of the cycle, so everything has to be settled. And understanding all of that, and you don't have to repeat these words to yourself, but if you've been practicing all these ideas, then at that moment when in a sudden situation you're faced with something, whether it's coming from outside from another Brahmin, or whether it's something happening to this, or whether it's a practical situation of a disaster that's happening, what do? Let me be with Baba up there, see what's going on, and know what is the right response at that time. And so the preparation that Baba's giving us is really, really for Satyug, yes, teaching us how to imbibe those qualities, emerge those deity sanskars, to have that power of purity. But also, Baba's preparation is very much for us to prepare us for that final period in whatever situation we may be. And so I found that Baba talking about the whole thing of what is Baba's awareness, what is Baba's attitude, what is Baba's drishti, and according to that, what is Baba's behavior and activity. A very, very powerful signal for the things that we need to do for ourselves today. And you know how human nature is to compare. And when there's comparison, there'll always be someone better, someone less, and so big chance of ego problems coming in, or problems of lack of self-esteem, that fluctuation. But if I have only two comparisons that I use, no problem, I'll constantly keep moving forward. No ego, but also not putting myself down, but being able to move forward. And those two comparisons are Brahma Baba, and Baba gives us his example very, very much in the Avyakt Muralis especially. Not so much in the Sakar Muralis, because Baba's sitting there and Shiv Baba's speaking through him, so he doesn't say, look at me, look at me, look at me. Many things that Baba does say in which Brahma Baba is shown as the example, but especially in the Avyakt Muralis, Baba very often gives us the example of Brahma Baba. And so that is the gold mark, the gold standard. That is where I have to go, not anything in between. But also the second thing, my own perfect stage. Let me keep that in front of me and move towards that continually. Brahma Baba didn't have anyone else to compare himself with, but Baba would ask the trance messengers, when you go in the subtle region and you see Avyakt Brahma, what's the difference between the Avyakt Brahma and this one? And so Baba would himself be aware of that feeling of the perfect stage, but Baba would get it verified, Baba would get it checked by the trance messengers. And so again, Baba's humility, the Baba's comparison was with his own angelic stage. And so Baba gives us a glimpse of our own perfect stage, our pure stage, our angelic stage. And so the drill that Baba conducted for us to compare ourselves with that stage. What is that stage of the eternal pure soul? What is that stage of the pure deity soul? Let me compare that, and then I'll know what it is I need to do today. And then Baba took up a subject which is eternally interesting for everyone, not just Brahmins, but everyone in the world. The two most frequently used words, I and my. Really, these are the two words, and of course Baba put it very beautifully. You've already changed your my from all the other stuff that goes on in the world to my Baba. There's an expression that Baba uses, and that is, Baba is my world. Is this my feeling? If I had no one else, if I had nothing else, and it's only Baba, would I be able to be completely content in that world in which it's only me and Baba? Nothing else is mine. No one else is mine. We surround ourselves with so many facilities, so many supports. My role, my responsibility. Never mind anything else, but the my comes into service in a big, big way. And so my identity depends on my role. And I see my role as a very external role. And then suddenly I'm sick, and there is no role. There's nothing I can do. I can just meditate, and I can just be with Baba. And so maybe that situation's going to come. I don't know. But for sure, karma comes in a way in which my weakest point becomes revealed. Whatever it is I'm scared of the most. Are you scared of something? Losing your job? Losing all your money? Losing your health? Losing your teeth? Losing your hair? What is it I'm scared of? So, and okay, so Brahmins are strong, Brahmins are powerful, and you say, not scared of anything. And yet, of course, there are subtle fears that we all have. And certainly the whole role of service, it's wonderful. Baba wants us to serve. Baba is preparing us to serve every day. But yet, also, where it's Baba's service, and I'm an instrument, that's my safety. But where it's my service, my. So Baba is my world, and so my Baba, and everything I want, everything I need, really, truly, I can get from Baba. That is a reality. And Baba wants me to discover this as my reality, as my truth, in which there's no one, nothing that pulls me. Was it last week or the week before, in which Baba was talking about the subtle threads that pull you? And so when Baba calls you, are you going to be able to just instantly fly, or will there be all these subtle threads that will keep you down, and then you'll say, I want to go, but I can't. And so to be able to check that now. And the more I think about my first port of call being Baba, I need something. Am I going to think of somebody down here, or am I going to think of Baba? I need advice. Who do I think of? Or is it that one? So whatever is my need, I need love. If I'm looking here, I'm going to have a problem, because somebody is here today, tomorrow they're not. I'm not going to be able to manage. But if I've made my Baba my world, then Baba's going to fulfill whatever empty spaces there are within the soul, and Baba's going to be able to give me everything. And sometimes people say that, but you know, God is incorporeal, and I'm a human being. Not true. I'm a soul. I'm not only just a soul, but I'm a special soul. And so then Baba went on to talk about the I, and how the I can be that which makes you crash down, or the I can be that which can lift you up. And so the beautiful titles that Baba's given us through the years, Sakar Murlis as well as Avyakt Murlis, really amazing titles. In fact, the Sakar Murlis have titles like, you're the master Sadhguru, you're the master teacher, you're everything that God is, you are also. But the master. Master means the young one, not master, the big one. But in English language, Master Roberts is the little one. It's not Mr. Roberts, it's the little one. And so the master, almighty authority. Now, I'm not the almighty authority, that's God. But I'm the master, almighty authority, the child of the master, of the almighty. Now, what does it feel like? Now that is self-respect. To come to that feeling, that awareness. And all this is the inner work that people talk about. They use this language, I have to do the inner work inside. And Baba doesn't use that word, inner work. Baba just uses the word effort or attention. Even less than effort, now Baba uses the word attention. But what's going on inside of me? Is this in my own consciousness? Am I experimenting with these ideas? Or is it that it's so beautiful, Murli, and yes, it was this point, this point, this point, this point, and great, yes, I can even reel off all the different points. But have I experimented with the things Baba's talking to me about? And so here is Baba reminding me of that royalty, that personality, that purity, and am I experiencing that stage of that highest level of purity? And then Baba said, experiment with all the different titles, and you'll never get bored. If anybody says, you know, knowledge is the same, the Murli is the same, it's because they're just listening to words. They're not experiencing the significance behind the words. You read a story And how many times have you read that story? But what you're doing is you're getting carried away by the story, and your imagination is following the story. And so here it's not imagination, it's my story, my history. When Baba's speaking to us, Baba's reminding us of our story of 84 births. What happened in the Golden Age? What happened in the Silver Age? What happened later when the drama came in, Ravan came in? It's my story. And today, yes, I think everything is fine, I'm moving along, and then I comes in. Very often I find how the Avyakt Murali and the Sakar Murali also tallies together. So yesterday Baba talking about the I and how it can really make us fall down. But today's Murali and Baba talking about the biggest trap that can come, the body consciousness of ego, of I. And so lust and anger and greed and attachment, all those things. But the big one that Baba spoke of today, it's this ego of I. And so yesterday Baba reminding us, today the Sakar Murali telling us again. And so am I checking myself to see where is it that in my thinking there's the I? And what is it connected with? Is it connected with externals, or is it the state of self-esteem? And the more there is that state of self-esteem, I can be unshakable. I can be stable, and nothing that's going on outside can shake me. And yes, in that state of self-esteem, my connection with Baba is powerful and beautiful. Baba used to say, if you come to God as a beggar, asking for a little bit of peace, of course Baba's going to give it to you. Baba's the ocean of peace, so he'll give you a little bit of peace. But if you come to Baba in the awareness of being the embodiment of peace, because you've been practicing that, not just at that moment, you can't be the embodiment of peace suddenly just like that, but you've been practicing that awareness. Am I here? Am I coming back to the peaceful soul, reminding myself of Om Shanti? Then in that state of peace, I come to God in yoga, not asking for peace, but peace connects with peace. And there's the power of peace that radiates out into the world and transforms the atmosphere also, and can reach out and touch others and the world. And it's a big, big difference in yoga when I'm coming to Baba because I'm empty. And yes, of course Baba's going to fill me, but the filling is this much because that's my capacity. I don't have any more capacity. But I've maintained the awareness of being the child of God, that self-respect, that stable, unshakable stage, and then my meeting with God is a meeting of love. And so it's just the love that's flowing and I'm enjoying, not working hard. Is yoga hard work? Is yoga a struggle? Is yoga something which is a discipline? Baba had spoken about all the different stages of yoga in an Avyakt Murali a few months ago, and when we read it all we laughed because that was touching our hearts. We've been through it, not that we haven't, we've been through all the different stages that Baba was describing. But today, where am I at? Let me get to that stage where it's really truly just a meeting of love with Baba, and a joy for Baba to meet me. Not just for me to meet Baba, but it should be a joy for Baba to meet me. It shouldn't be a complaint session. You know, if a wife is sort of bored and unhappy and frustrated at home, and the husband comes home and she's got a list of complaints, he's already exhausted, he's tired, he doesn't want to listen to complaints, he's just going to pick up a newspaper and put it up as a barrier. Or people don't have newspapers anymore, they switch on the television and they read their little tablet. So Daddy gave us this example once, and I thought it's very true. And so, do I have sweet things to say to Baba? When I have a chance to be with Baba, am I giving pleasure to Baba by talking sweetly to Baba and sharing my happiness, my love, my joy of being with Baba? And so let my yoga be such that in the I am maintaining my stage of self-respect and I'm meeting Baba with that love, with that joy. So I and my big, big lesson. And then the last part, which I think it was a response to something that must have happened, in which Baba's saying that suddenly things will happen. Know that that's how it works. So don't be shocked, don't be surprised, don't waste time thinking, how could that happen? Because meanwhile, in that time that's lost, the moment of response may have also been lost. Sometimes the response that's needed is an immediate one, but a natural one of the highest qualities. And so the more I practice again, I'm finding that this word is a very important word in our vocabulary. Practice, practice, practice. Whatever Baba's talking about, let me experiment with that. And so as I practice, then suddenly things happen. It's okay. I can deal with it. I can manage and still be unshaken. Otherwise, I'm going to get thrown into turmoil and my head's going to be in a spin. I won't feel connected with Baba. I won't know where to go, what to do. So it's a caution, very, very big caution from Baba. Stabilize, stabilize, stabilize. And of course, Baba reminding us that it's that focus of concentration that I need to develop. When I remember Baba, how long can I remember Baba before I have to start churning? Just me and Baba. And yes, then I have to remind myself, think of pranam, all the other things that Baba tells us. But concentration, it's one of the things that people in today's world lack. And it's very interesting because I discovered many years ago that bodies, everything organic, has over 300 chemicals that shouldn't be there. Everything under the sun has absorbed all these chemicals. And these chemicals are having an impact on our physiology, for we know all the illnesses that keep happening. They're having an impact on our brain, and through that our consciousness. Memory is impacted. So it's not just my age, it's these chemicals. Tolerance capacity, that's been, now this is Lockick research from WWF, World Wildlife Fund. So these chemicals are impacting our memory, they're impacting our tolerance capacity, and they're impacting our comprehension, definitely. And so I need to really focus my mind and be able to concentrate on Baba, because comprehension, concentration, focus, very much connected. And so if today I focus just for a moment, okay, let me progress, let me progress, let me progress. And then it'll be the stage that Baba's talking about. Buildings will be falling, bombs will be flying, and I'll just be with Baba, and I'll be able to go home in that consciousness. So the answer, concentration. And it doesn't come just like that. That comes through practice. K. can I focus no matter what is going on around me? And so the more I do it, the easier it will be. And last thing that I want to say, I had a question about Baba saying double effort makers. Does Baba mean we're more intense? We have to be more intense? And Bharatvasis, whatever effort they're making, we have to make double that effort? Well, there's a very sweet definition that Baba gave of double effort makers some time ago. And that was, whether you're doing something physical for Baba, or whether you're doing something vocal for Baba, double effort is that your mind should be connected with Baba, and then you speak. Your mind should be connected with Baba, and then you do, whether it's washing the dishes or making sandwiches or whatever it is you need to do. And so that's not hard work then. Because otherwise, double effort, I don't know what it said to you. And if it meant, you know, really stretching and straining and sweating, no, Baba doesn't want his children to labor. But it was a very lovely definition of double effort in that way. So external, yes, whatever, but internal, where are my thoughts, where is my awareness, where is my consciousness? So, I mean, the sense I get from every avyakt murali usually is, well, if I just focus on this one murali, I can become karmadeep. But yes, we need to understand everything that's going on, not just one thing. And so Baba continues to give us more and more and more and remind us, and none of us remember all the things that Baba said. We might remember, I remember definitely the definition of royalty and reality and purity and personality, but the detail that Baba took up, certainly I didn't remember that. So I'm grateful for this revision opportunity that Baba's giving us. We wouldn't have wanted it. We would have wanted Baba to come and share more things, more things, more things. But that's children. Children want more, want more. And the father's now saying, I've given you a lot. Now let me see what you're going to do with it.